Okay, then we're going to start by faith. Father in heaven, thank you that you open up your own word to us. You enlighten our eyes. Like the psalmist said, in the name of Yeshua, amen. We can think about this. Now abide these three: faith, hope, and love, or charity, love. But the greatest of these all is love. Yes. But we need all these. And it's like love includes all that. Love believes all things, hopes all things. And we also need faith, because if we are moving in, if we're living in faith, we're also in love. It's all present. It's all present. The Lord, the Word of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, this is all one. This is all one. And in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, I'm still amazed how this, the outline of this chapter is. This is a chapter of faith. This is an amazing chapter. Just like 1 Corinthians 13 is about love, Hebrews 11 is about faith. And what faith meant in the first part of the Bible, what faith meant there. So, if we start reading, two things about Moshe, Orthodox Jewish world says Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, by whom the Torah was given. There's two things that are emphasized about Moses. This is amazing. This is a Jewish person who wrote this, but totally with a totally different viewpoint. If we ask anyone on the street, if we say, Moshe, what comes to you? Why is Moshe so important? Well, they'll recognize the Pesach, they'll recognize coming through the Red Sea, but the Torah was given through Moses. This is the first thing. This is like a national thing. Torah, Moshe, he wrote it. Okay. But here when we read in this chapter 11, there's two things about Moshe. Two huge things. Actually three. Hebrews 11:24. By faith, Moshe, when he was come to years, he was an adult, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's or Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Very interesting. When we read the book of Shemot, the second scroll of Moses, Exodus. Okay. We read there that he went to visit his brethren. He went to visit his brothers, the Hebrew people. We shall not say Jews, because Judah was only one of the 12 tribes, all the Hebrews. He went to visit the Israelites in captivity. He was the prince. And when he rose up against this man who was torturing, ill-treating the Hebrew slave, when Moses rose up to defend, okay, he went very far. He ended up killing the man. But that's when he made his choice. He knew the cost can be really expensive. And he refused. He said, I'll go with these people that are forsake, that are, okay, the slaves. They have no status. They're like nobodies. slaves. Who was a slave? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He knew if he joins this crowd, the Hebrews, he will lose his crown. He was the crown prince, like Bin Salman is today in Saudi. He was the prince of Egypt. There's a movie called The Prince of Egypt. I wonder if you saw it. Actually, there's some good movies about that. Seriously. That's when he decided. His heart spoke to him. And he listened to his heart. But actually, it was the voice of God in his heart. So I'm not going to go with majority. I don't care. I'm going to join the people of God. Rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Okay, now Exodus, Shemot, does not speak anything about sinful lifestyle as such. It doesn't go into any details other than the idol worship. But we know, where there is such a culture, everything goes. And there was a lot of pleasures. Pleasures can fight against faith. People that choose pleasures and status, pleasures and high position, even in the world of religion, even if it's not with big sins, they are not moving by faith. Yeah, we should listen to God, what he says in his word. We should also listen to God, what he says in our heart. What is that called? In Hebrew we have a word matzpun. That's in a modern Hebrew. The old Hebrew used the word da'at. And Aramaic has a different word again. But the word matzpun is the same word as, same root as compass. That always points to the north. It's supposed to point to the north. So, there's a compass inside of us. And Moses was listening to this this compass in his heart. And he knew. He knew when he saw. There's one thing that we cannot cheat. In a way, it's like our DNA, our genes. We cannot cheat our genes. Okay. I know when we are the children of God, we have another orientation, which is the strongest. But what we are made is also in the plan of God. And Moshe found himself when he approached these slaves. His heart said to him, this is where you belong. And he wanted to defend them with the strongest possible way. He did it in his own strength. That wasn't the way God would deliver them. Yes, but his direction was right. His method was wrong. But he knew in his heart. I'm going to tell you a little story that maybe illustrates to us that we cannot change our destiny that is from God. People can lie to us, but there's something in our heart, even in our matzpun, that is unconfused. We have a friend, my wife and I, we have a friend called Hezi. Today he lives in Florida. He's Israeli. When Hezi was 4 years old, he was kidnapped from kindergarten, as they call it in German, children's playground. He was kidnapped by evil people, and he was right-handed. He was Jewish, of course. Of course. Why do I say of course? Hezi, okay, yeah, Haskell. And they renamed him. He gave him a name. Instead of Goldman, they gave him a name, Anderson. What does 4-year-old boy know? And he was right-handed, so the ones who kidnapped him made him left-handed, made him write with the left hand. So no one will find who he is. God knew who he is. But he was confused. He thought his name is Anderson. He thought he is supposed to be left-handed. And he lived his youth in confusion. He got into bad ground. He got into bad actions. Many things happened, and he ended up being very, very, very confused. That happens. Then when he was in 1972, he happened to be in Expo in Dallas, Texas. Expo. And he was so confused and guilty and everything. And he went forward and he received God into his heart. God of salvation into his heart. It was Billy Graham that affected him. That there is a forgiveness for a man like me. But after that all, he felt confused. He felt confused all his days. Then one day he gets a home phone call from a very unique company. And you know, this is what the people said. We are making a case study. We are following kidnapped children. And you are in the list. You were kidnapped as a child. Your parents, Anderson or whatever, they're not your parents. And we have connected your mother. Would you like to meet your mother? He felt electrified in his heart. Wow. Now I may understand why I have been all my life, all my youth, as a mystery to myself. I found forgiveness with God. I found the purpose for my life. But I still didn't feel like I know who I am. So what's happening now? Okay. And they organized a meeting at the airport that his mother would be coming from that airline. And he would be waiting there in the waiting area at the airport. His heart was pounding. It's amazing. His heart was pounding. He felt nervous. Okay, this lady comes. He's about the same age. No, it's not that. It's not that. And then finally, a lady walked out. Her eyes and his eyes met. The eyes met. No one could explain it. He knew before any explanation. That's my mother. And she knew, that's my son. But before Hesse even knew, that was a great healing. And later he met his real father. And that was even more healing. But why am I saying this? In all of this amazing, amazing experience that Moses had as the prince of Egypt, Moses always felt something strange. He always felt like, I am great, but I don't belong. This lifestyle, this sinful lifestyle, these pleasures, I don't belong. There's something wrong. We're enslaving these people, Hebrews, beating them up. Something is wrong. And when the right time came, he made his choice And at some point, he found out who he was. The movie gives us some kind of an explanation when he might have discovered it. If the movie is right, if the movie is wrong, I don't know. But that's when he knew. He knew. And it was faith. By faith he made this decision. As children of God, we have also natural genes, but we can also speak about the Spirit of God. That is another matter, but it's similar, very similar. And as children of God, we know the lifestyle of orphanage of this world does not fit us. I cannot get my meaning from stupid movies, even though it's kind of a search. And there's some good movies too. I'm not saying they're all the same. There's some good movies out there. But I cannot get my purpose from what the world is telling me. I cannot get my purpose from what the religious world is telling me, if it's not what's written. I cannot get my purpose from success, any of this. And then Moses, whatever, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. So he made this reckoning, counting. Okay, what I give up is the crown. I give up to be the hero. Actually, the coming, possibly the coming king of the greatest nation, Mitzrayim, Egypt. I'm giving up everything. But this is bigger. This is bigger what I'm going after. I have to follow my heart. Okay, you heard this statement, follow your heart. It can be the most dangerous statement, but it can be also a true statement. If God is in the heart, and God is putting something in our heart that we should follow that. We should follow what God put in the Word in our heart. If it agrees with God, if it's an action of faith, if it's an action of love, there we follow our heart. But follow our heart anywhere our heart takes. Follow your dreams, your heart, and whatever it, you have to walk over people. No, no, no. We don't follow a carnal heart. But we follow God in the book and in our heart. So I'm very careful with that statement. But he actually, Moses did not have a whole lot of information here. He didn't have a whole lot of information. He just knew in his heart. That was faith. That's why it says, by faith. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. All that went there, I'm sure they had a lot of good drinks. They had a lot of beautiful ladies and music. Egypt had wonderful harps. And by the way, harp music is nice. I like harp music. But they had a different purpose for their music. Everything that goes. Esteeming the reproach of the Messiah. Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Yes, I forgot how it is in Aramaic. In Aramaic, this sentence is so beautiful and it's easier to understand. But I don't have my Aramaic text with me. For he had respect to the recompense of the reward. What reward? He saw no reward. He saw no reward in front of him. No one promised him anything. But he knew. He knew the same secret that others knew. If we give up something for God, God will give us more. God cannot lie. If we give up something for God, God has something better. And he knew there's a reward. No one told him what the reward is. He didn't have the following chapters of the Bible to tell him where it's going to go. Nothing. But he knew there's a reward. That's Hebrews 11, actually Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Actually, I want to say this. There are rewards that God can give. Sometimes they can be financial. Sometimes it can be a good name, like a reputation. It can be all kinds of supplies and community to be in. Outward rewards. The inner rewards are the real ones. I don't despise the others. But the inner rewards that we get to know God. We get to know the truth. Pardon me, but I give you another illustration. I give lots of illustrations. I worked in that bookshop, that building behind that window, 23 and a half years. I saw many things. And one day I saw something that I never forget. One man, a devout Orthodox Jew, who was very, very influential in New York with a rabbi called Rabbi Milubavitch, we call him, how do you say in English, Chabad rabbi, the leader. Yes, Rabbi Milubavitch. He was very high up in this movement, very high up. Now, he came limping. He had gone through a stroke. He had a big staff in his hand. And he had a big smile. We said to him, "What happened?" He said, "What I went through is small things. I lost all my millions. I lost all my condominiums in New York City. My son burned my library. My wife divorced me. I went through a stroke, but I can walk." He had a big stick, walking stick, and he said, "I'm the happiest man in the world." "You're the happiest man in the world?" "Yeah, because I found the truth. I found the truth that I never knew." He meant the Father, and how we got to know the Father through His King Messiah, the Son, and His Isaiah 53 offering. That's what He said. We didn't say anything to Him. That's what He said. He did the same thing what Moshe did here. He esteemed the reward, the recompense, the reward greater than all the treasures. And he had millions and condominiums, but he was a man of peace. He loved everybody. He loved even everybody in his grouping. But that's how he esteemed the truth. That's how he esteemed the heart knowledge of God. Not head knowledge only, which we appreciate, but the heart knowledge of God. The truth, which is also love, the Father, the Spirit of the Father. Do I appreciate, esteem the truth that way? Do you esteem the truth that way? If not all the way, let's walk into it in steps. Let's take the next step, next step, next step, next step. Let's walk that way. And by faith he forsook Egypt. That's the next step. When he stood up to defend this Hebrew slave, he had to also leave Egypt. He had to leave. If he had gone to Pharaoh maybe and tried to explain it and whatever, I don't know how it would have worked out. But if he left, that's it. That's bye-bye, Egypt. You never plan to come back. but actually he ended up coming back. But by faith he forsook Egypt. It's leaving everything behind. That's the Abraham moment, Abraham moment. Leaving Egypt, leaving the center of the world. Has God ever called you to leave some things because you know in your heart, I have to leave something behind? I have many times in my heart, I have to leave things behind. And at the moment when you have to leave something behind, it is not easy. But afterwards, you notice that God is a rewarder and He always gives you something better. He always gives you something better. Yoter tov. He always gives you something better. There's a recompense. Do we really believe in this reward? Is our heart taken up with this reward? What is this reward? God said it to Abraham in chapter 17 of Bereshit, Genesis. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. I am your shield and your great reward. After Abraham went to defeat the kings, you remember Abraham went to fight against the kings of Persian kings. They came from Persia, actually, or that region. Actually, Babylon and all that region. Okay, so he knew God is his reward. That's our reward. If it's not outward reward, the inward vision of God and walking into great experience of God is awaiting for us. By faith he forsook Egypt. By faith. We do everything by faith. That works by love, by the way. And not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured seeing him who is invisible. So, God is like not unseen, invisible. I would translate it rather unseen, because in this body, in this form, we do not see him. But remember what Yeshua said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We're like Moshe, that we see him by faith. We see him by faith. It doesn't matter what our situation is, in a deep valley, on a mountaintop, anything in between. There's so many valleys we could talk about. Okay, anyway, verse 28. Then came the big, another big thing. Moshe, yeah, he left Egypt, and then he kept the sprinkling of the blood. That is Pesach. Through faith he kept the Pesach, Passover, and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. We could say many things about firstborn, Bechor, but he kept the sprinkling of blood. That's a big thing, Passover. He forsook Egypt. He kept the Pesach. The meaning of Pesach today in Israel is still partly unknown. It is known in terms of living in Egypt. It is known there. But what meaning the Messiah brought into Pesach, that is still a mystery. The matzah, oh yeah, the matzah, the stripes in the matzah, oh, the afikoman, the hidden part, the hidden half of the middle piece. What is this? The only explanation for this is found in the Besorah, in the good news of the Messiah. The hidden part of the matzah will be found at the end. And then there's rejoicing. This joy is awaiting our people Israel. This joy is awaiting. But Pesach is a huge deal. Huge deal. Huge deal. But I'm going to go to the third point before I close. verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. Ah, that's the third big thing. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. This kind of thing never happened in the history of the world, in our knowledge, to any other nation. The religions of the world do not, by the way, I don't count Tanakh or the Bible as a religion book. It doesn't talk much about religion. It is a book of the covenants. It's a covenant book. And in the religions of the world, there's nothing like this, that a nation by God's covenant power walks through the sea when the sea opens up. Nothing like this. By faith they pass through the Red Sea as by dry land. There it is. Just like by dry land. This wind was so powerful that it dried the whole land, and they had no problem to climb over anything. They just went right through, which the Egyptians trying to do. They were drowned. I want to say one little thing. This is very interesting, this point. The Egyptians, didn't they understand that if God opened the sea for the Israelites, this was a miracle? And if they try to get into the middle of this miracle and they are not friends of God, it's dangerous for them. Didn't they consider it's a miracle? I think they were blinded. Just like Israel went by faith through the Dead Sea, Egyptians went by stupidity and foolishness into the same sea. It's crazy. Okay. Like Bilaam. You remember Bilaam? The man who was going to bless Israel, curse Israel, whatever. And when the donkey started to talk to him, when the donkey started to speak to him, he spoke back to the donkey. He didn't even see it was a miracle. Or if he saw it was a miracle, he didn't think it was like anything. I tell you what, if I walk on the, I go out on the street today, and a man comes with a camel or a donkey, and the donkey comes to me and starts talking to me, "Shalom, how are you?" I would go like, "Hey, wait. How come you're talking to me?" When people go against God, their mind goes dumb, dull, blind. They don't understand. When they think that they can wipe out Israel off the map, their mind goes dumb. They can't see by miracle we were brought here, we're not going anywhere. Or if they think that they can wipe out all believers that believe in Yeshua, if they think that they can wipe out all believers that believe in the God of Israel and His Messiah, they can just kill them after. It's not going to happen. They can kill some, but God will never allow it to happen to the end. Their mind goes dumb. So the Egyptians tried to do it, and they couldn't understand anything. And you know what? The more we follow God, you know what happens? Yeshua said, follow the light that you have. The light you see in the book, the light He gives in your heart. Do what you know is God's way. Take the next step and you'll have more light. Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the righteous is like a shining light that shines more and more towards the perfect light. We are the people of the light. But the opposite happens also. If we go towards darkness, and you go one step, two steps against what is the right way, the righteous way, and the loving way of God. If we go in one step, it gets darker. Two steps, more dark. Three steps, more dark. God can still forgive. There's always hope for a person that says, forgive me. But that's the thing. And then, you know what? There's nothing more here about Moses. I'm going to stop here. But this is amazing. The person who wrote this book had to be a Hebrew. Had to be a Hebrew. A non-Hebrew could not write these things so clearly. I believe so. I believe so. Whatever. That's not the main point. Who wrote it? But this will shock every person. Why he stops there concerning Moses and doesn't write? But Moses wrote the Torah. He wrote the law. That's the high point in Jewish mind. So why he stops there and goes to the walls of Jericho, we will call to it another time. Remember, all this is in agreement. Bereshit, the beginning of the book, is in full agreement with the last book, which is the book of Revelation. And the emphasis in the book of Revelation is, I, Yeshua, have sent my angels to testify to you these things in the congregations. I'm the root and the offspring of David and the bright and the morning star. So David gets a mention not to despise Moshe, but the living Torah came through the son of David. And then all comes together. So he died. He rose from the dead. He became the life-giving spirit after he paid for the sins of the world. And now he lives in his believers. This is a new world. And then the coming of the true Messiah is near. Path of the just is a shining light. We're the people of light. We're the people of hope. I have to give you one more illustration. And I close wrap them. A friend of mine was talking with a very, very religious man. And the religious man last week, and he said to him, he's a Messianic Jew, this friend of mine. The religious man said to him, do you pray the same way as we pray? He said, no, I don't. He said, I don't pray. He said, do you pray the same way as we pray? And my friend asked him, how do you pray? When you pray, do you expect God to speak to you back? Do you expect an answer? He said, no, I never expect an answer. God never speaks to me. He said, that's the difference. I pray to God that answers. In Islam, they don't expect God to speak back. They have books. The world is filled with books. But because of this faith, we have God that speaks to us. Father, thank you for these thoughts. Increase our faith. We give you thanks that you paid for every sin in the world. You paid for our sins so we can have a good conscience and a loving Father and the Spirit of the Messiah in our hearts. Amen.